Set your course for the Hoth system. General Veers, prepare your men.
All troops will debark for ground assault. Prepare to target the main jet.
Echo Station 3TA.
On an Imperial Walker.
Attack pattern Delta. Go now. Watch that clock fire, boys. Right now, I feel like I'd take on the whole Empire myself.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the bay.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Echo Base. This is episode 129, recording on Monday, January 22nd. We have a very special episode for you this week. We are doing kind of a random chatter hostful. We're doing a Last Jedi roundtable. We've pulled together a bunch of our hosts from across the network. So I'll do a quick roll call here for you. Obviously, this is Tim, not Lou, introducing the podcast, but still Team Bald Guy. So we're definitely good there. Eric.
I didn't do it.
We will definitely find some blame for you anyhow.
Oh, I have no doubt.
Yes. Welcome. Lou.
Hey.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
Hi, Tim. I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. Elizabeth.
Hello.
Hi, Lizzie. We missed you last night. You and Random Chatter.
I know. I missed you guys, too. I'm glad to be back.
We're glad to have you.
I needed a mental health day.
That's quite all right. The long-lost voice of the Random Chatter Network, Chris.
Hello there.
Hi there.
Yay. There he is.
Well, welcome back to Echo Base.
I didn't know what state I would find the base in, because, you know, I've not been around for a while. And I'm glad to see that it's not as clean as it should be, but, you know.
Come on, we wanted to leave a lot of books laying out in case you wanted to read one. So we have a selection here for you to choose from.
That sounds great.
Having Eric back in Echo Base, though, he's kind of like Pigpen. It's like Lou and I just have to constantly keep cleaning up after him. We have to like assign droids to clean up after him when we're not around.
Most of the droids quit.
Yeah.
They actually droids formed a union. Can you believe that? That's how bad it was.
Chris, you remember where the restrooms are here, right?
I do, yes.
Okay, good.
Okay,
good.
So fair warning, you don't want to use them.
I just say bring them up.
Yeah.
Eric led a wampa into one of them and it just went from there. So
is that what we call that now? Okay.
Andrea.
Hello. Hello.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. Pretty good. Very still good. Alive.
Excellent. That's good to hear. Glad to, let's see, you're wearing your Porg shirt today.
Oh God.
Yes. And my Porg mug. I'm representing today the least represented.
There are several people here with Porgs. Sadly, even including myself, my disclaimer is it is my wife's Porg. It is not mine.
Mm-hmm. That's what they all say.
Just keep telling yourself that, Tim.
But I figured I'd bring it in just for a little representation here. Shannon. Hi, Shannon.
Hello. Hi.
And you came armed with Porgs.
Yes, I run a home. For orphan porgs.
I think she has the most porgs.
I have a pop porg too that I didn't look for because I don't feel like looking for him, but he's up there.
Oh boy.
Lots of porgs in this house.
So many porgs to save so little time, Shannon.
I know, there's so many and they're always screaming.
That's right.
Like, which is relatable. It's fine.
Well, that's why I need a baseball bat.
Oh, Lord.
I said relatable, not killable.
And last but certainly not least, because she can kick my butt, Carrie.
Hey, all. I have a question. If we're all here tonight, whose fault is it?
It's him.
Okay, that works for me.
Me?
Yep.
Yes.
You're in charge tonight.
If anything goes wrong, play innocent. It's because of you. Exactly.
And when she says if, she's just being polite.
That's right.
When I say if, I do mean when, but I try to be optimistic.
Why do you think I quickly threw you under the, let you run the show tonight?
yeah, absolutely. So we wanted to pull everyone together to talk about The Last Jedi. There's obviously been a lot of discussion. A lot of us have talked about it on shows on the network, shows off the network. Liz and I actually still have to do our movie Rampage review of The Last Jedi. Its schedules have just kind of been crazy for us. But obviously we've kind of pontificated at length on Slack and on social media, but it's a real nice opportunity, I think, to bring everyone together to really have a good conversation about it. It's been a fairly divisive movie across the fandom. And, so it's good to, I think, bring all of us together and hopefully have a good civil discussion about the things that we like and that we don't like. And it's fine that we don't like things, we want to be substantial in our comments when we do that and share some different points of view. So I think we have kind of a good representation of folks here from across the network to talk about some things. So I kind of have some slated questions here that we will cover through our discussion that I'll throw out to folks. My first question is, what was your initial impression after leaving the theater from your first viewing? So think back. I know a lot of us saw the film more than once. Just from your first viewing, what did you think about it? I'm going to say from the video that I see here, Shannon is giving me the most animated expression. So I want to hear from Shannon first.
Well, I only got to see it the once. I meant to go see it again, but the way work's been lately and my energy levels, I just never went to go back. But when I left, I really enjoyed it. My one critique at the time, I don't have a ton. I'm a very easy person to please, but the one feeling I had when I left was that it felt just a little overlong. But my issue also was that I didn't not like anything. Like, looking back on it now, I can, you know, think of things I would have maybe changed or done differently. But at the same time, at the time, I liked everything. So I couldn't imagine what I would cut to make it feel less long. And that was really my only strong feeling when I left the theater. Otherwise, I really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun. I was like the only one laughing. And it wasn't a big audience, but because I went on a Thursday afternoon, but that was still pretty concerning. There were children. You'd think they'd laugh at the nuns or the porgs, but at no. Least. Yeah. So I was the only one laughing, which was a little strange. But yeah, the first time I saw it, and the only time I saw it, I really, really enjoyed it. It just felt overlong.
Good. Good. Carrie.
Yeah, well, I immediately wanted to go back and watch it again. My problem was I was kind of doped up on cold meds at the time. So my initial liking of the movie may have been, I see that, Tim.
The air quotes around the cold meds are important.
It's difficult.
Again,
drug-induced.
Yeah.
Yes. It makes things difficult. Listen, Jedi, you see them everywhere when you're on cold medicine. Like, come on.
Hey.
And porgs.
Yeah. So I'm willing to concede that my initial liking of the movie may have been the DayQuil I took before I walked into the theater. But otherwise, I liked it.
That's fair enough. Okay. Lizzie, what was your first impression?
I was surprised that I didn't love it. I liked it. I think I thought it was a really good movie. And there were parts that were really engaging and that I really responded to. But overall, I was disappointed and I walked away feeling like it wasn't Star Wars to me, which I thought was very surprising given my love of Star Wars. Now, I will say upon a second viewing days later with my brother and sister-in-law, I got more perspective, and he and I talked through a lot of plot points where I was just like, what is happening here? And he's like, but what if it's this, that you're seeing it this way, let's look at it this way. And he and I have always had Star Wars as it's our sibling thing. It's Star Wars is about family. It's always been that for me. So his perspective really helped me like see it in a different way. It doesn't mean I don't think it's a good movie. It's just, there was something different for me that, the crowd responded differently. Like, even thinking back to Phantom Menace and Think What You Want About Phantom Menace, the crowd was as one. We were one. Mm. Like, we were one. When we had to pick it apart, you know, years and years with it, that any, you know, said anything about it. So it was interesting for me to walk out and feel like this, there are things I love. I will say there are things that I loved, but I just was like, this feels so different for me. And that was hard, but it's okay. And I have come to appreciate it now upon a second viewing, and I will see it again. I was hoping to see it again before we did this, but I'll see it again before we do Movie Rampage and have one more like later. Anyways, it's a great movie. Probably even just a really, really great movie. But I can't say I loved it, but I did like it.
Okay, great.
I was not expecting that response, by the way, when I went to see it.
Sure. And that's totally understandable. Chris, what was your initial impression?
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
So when I got out of the theater, I was with my dad, and he asked me what I thought. And I said, I don't know how I feel about the ending. Like, that was my first gut reaction, was like, I hate the ending. I'm sure everyone knows what we're talking about with that. My mood, though, was really depressed. And I couldn't tell if it was because of the ending or because of the movie. I liked pretty much everything up until like midway through the third act, pretty much right after the quote-unquote lightsaber duel, even though it wasn't a duel. The action sequence with the lightsabers is probably more appropriate. Everything really up to and including that was really, really good. Yeah, it had some things that I didn't really agree with in hindsight, but nothing that really, you know, brought the movie down. A lot of people, for example, hate the Canto Bight sequence. I actually like it. But that ending just rubs me the wrong way, and it has gotten significantly worse since it came out.
Okay.
But I just felt really down in the dumps. Like, I had a Christmas party later that afternoon, and I was so depressed. Like, I didn't even talk to anyone while I was there. And it was like my family Christmas, and everyone's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, oh, it's just, you know, one of those days. I didn't want to say I'm depressed about Star Wars.
I have never heard anybody say Star Wars ruined Christmas.
Yeah, strong.
Well, the holiday special.
I was about to say
that too.
That makes Christmas so much better, and we watch it every year. How dare you, sir?
Well, Chris, we're going to explore that a little bit more. We're going to talk about favorite parts and least favorite parts of the film. So I'm interested to hear some more of your thoughts about why the ending was such a big bummer for you.
Ready to go.
Andrea.
Well, I actually just watched it once. I watched it with my whole family, and my whole family is like the epitome of what a Star Wars fans are. I mean, my dad has the Jedi for Life license plate and other things. So getting out of the movie theater as soon as it was over, it was almost like an empty feeling. I didn't know what to think about it right away. There were some parts where I really enjoyed them. There are parts that they didn't sit well with me based on the dynamics that I'm normally used to seeing in Star Wars movies. I do agree with Shannon. I felt like it was like very long, and a lot of the things could have been done or executed better if they had just removed them, added them in other movies, something along those lines. So there's a lot of questions, not enough answers. I wish things would have been explored a little bit further instead of it just being all quick and solutions to problems really quickly without any closure to them. So I liked it, didn't love it. I think that maybe if I watch it again, my perspective might change a little bit, but I don't think too much. It wasn't my favorite.
Okay. Interesting. We'll, I want to dive a little bit more into that too. Eric, what was your first impression?
I acknowledge that it was probably too long, but I didn't mind it. There were a couple of things I didn't like. And when I say I didn't like something, I mean that different from a complaint. Like there were some things I think were probably bad choices to make in the movie versus other things that were probably good choices that I just didn't really get into. I didn't like the fact that the whole movie seemed to just be a continuation of, I mean, other than the Luke and Rey thing, which I'm perfectly fine with, the rest of the movie was basically them just escaping from episode 7. Like it was like, this was episode 7.3. Like it wasn't really all the way into the next story yet. So it kind of felt like a 3-hour epilogue of episode 7. That being said, I liked it. I liked it a lot. I walked out of the theater knowing that people were going to be all over the place with a lot of the different issues. I liked the fact that they had, there was a lot of unexpected things. People wanted a different Star Wars this time around after episode 7, and they got a different Star Wars, and they might not have wanted that Star Wars, but it was different. Gosh darn it. And I was content, at the very least, content with almost all of it, except Snoke. I think they wasted the Snoke character.
I completely agree with that.
Absolutely.
And the whole excuse about, well, we'll get more in the books. You know, we've had that discussion before, too. Like you shouldn't have to have extracurricular content to make a movie make sense. But I think my prediction for episode 9, I know we're not at this point yet, but what makes it a little bit more okay for me is I imagine that we could see Snoke come back as a Force ghost or something like that in episode 9, or find out that he, much like Luke, was just a projection in this movie and knew that Kylo was going to do this all along as a way to tip Kylo further over into the dark side and kind of have that be the last straw for Kylo Ren. I think there are ways that they can make it so that he didn't end up having been a waste, but it's going to depend on where they go with it. But overall, that those were my initial impressions the first time I saw it.
Interesting. Okay. Last but not least in this question, Lewis, Team Bald Guy.
You know, my first impressions were as different than everybody else's. I really enjoyed it. I walked out of the movie, you know, a few things that I had, you know, okay, they may not did that quite right, but overall, my initial impression was I really enjoyed it.
That's it. That's all you got.
That's all. You wanted a simple first impression. I really enjoyed my first viewing of it.
That's amazing.
He got it. He hit the point.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I was going to answer the question correctly. You guys all expounded on things. And, you know, come on.
He did only what was necessary.
Lou, I'm going to keep you talking because I'm going to put you up first for the next question. The next question here is for those of you that saw the movie a second time or even more than twice, did this initial impression change at all? And if so, how?
You know, my initial impression was that I liked it. And the second viewing actually reinforced that to me. You know, viewing it a second time, you could understand where things were going. You kind of had a, you know, you knew it was coming, obviously. So you could analyze it a little bit differently in your head and, you know, read into what was going on and see what made sense on screen for some of the things that you may have questions on the first time. And it did clear up a couple scenes for me that were, you know, maybe a little problematic in my mind. But seeing what the filmmaker did leading up to that, it made a lot more sense in some cases. So I was actually happier with the movie after a second viewing.
Yeah, cool. Okay. Elizabeth, what was your impression on a second viewing?
Like I said, seeing it with my brother, like there's something about seeing Star Wars alone that I think really affected my first viewing because I have always seen them with my family. Like that's just Star Wars to me is going in a big group and seeing with my family. So like me by myself with some hecklers behind me that I wanted to murder, I feel like the experience was not the best. So going the second time, I really did like Lou saying, like the shock of some of the things that I wasn't expecting had worn off and I was ready for them. And I did walk out appreciating the Empire Strikes Back risks that this movie took versus Force Awakens, because this is a much riskier movie. And if you think about Empire Strikes Back and the risks that they took there in it, like leaving a cliffhanger and everything, I mean, we all know what they are, but I feel like that for to do with more fans, you know what I mean? With a more diverse fan base and a more like divisive fan base, as we know the Star Wars fan base can be. So I walked out appreciating it more, but there were still some, I will say this is harsh, but like it was the first time I was sad that the original canon was disbanded, because I have read the original canon and know where the story goes. I was like, oh, like I love that story. And so I understand Disney could never do it. It would be impractical. It would disappoint fans. It would whatever. I get it. But it was the first time I was like, I am sad about that a little bit. But it did change from my initial impression of like really being on the fence. I liked it a lot more.
Sure. Okay.
And appreciated a lot more about it.
Good. Good. Andrea, did you see it a second time?
No, I haven't been able to yet.
Okay.
But I want to. It's a movie that, although it was a little bit disappointing, it's watchable. I would enjoy it a million times. And you know what's nice is that when I watched it in the theaters, the seats actually moved. So every single time the ships would be moving, I'd be moving too. So it kind of made me feel a little bit better about it.
That's cool.
I'll have to mimic the movements when I'm watching it in my room, but it was enjoyable.
Please take video of that experience.
That's very cool. I'd love to see more of those haptic theaters come around. That's really neat. That's very cool. Carrie, did you see it a second time?
I did, and I was not on drugs the second time.
Cold medicine.
I was not, it, you know, it may be legal here, but I was not high. I liked being more prepared for the, all the diversions and stuff. The second time around, I didn't think it was overly long, but full disclosure, I went to see Lord of the Rings movie like 3 times at least. So I have no problem with long movies as long as they don't feel long. And this one didn't feel all that long, comparatively speaking. as with Liz, you know, I had the opposite with Force Awakens. When I went to see Force Awakens the second time, I went back and reread one of the short stories from the New Jedi Order, which was the last story before basically they started killing off the Solo kids and stuff.
Yeah.
And that was kind of my mourning of what was. But this time I was prepared for that break, so I didn't have that issue. And it wasn't, it's, even though this sequel trilogy is much bleaker than the, what the heck are you doing?
Andrea's snacking, and she's not sharing with anyone.
See, this is why it's not, I'm so
distracting, Tim.
Here,
have
it, Tim.
Zip the it, audience Tim. Can't see the video.
Goodness, Timothy.
This is why I should not just look at my screen.
I've got all. The good.
Timothy is fired.
Andrew, sorry, Carrie, continue.
And I thought Tim had control there for a minute, but no.
It's his fault. Clearly, I can't eat him peas. Let
me
talk.
What was I saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Tim, way to go.
So even though the sequel trilogy feels a lot bleaker than what I'm used to with Star Wars, the second movie wasn't as bleak as just the shock of what we were getting with Force Awakens.
Okay. Let's see. Who do we have here? Eric.
I thought it was much, much better the second time around. In fact, I was surprised at how much the second viewing did to make me enjoy the movie more. A lot of the issues I had before, I didn't have the second time around. There were still some things that, you know, I talked about before that I wish had been done differently. But someone else had already mentioned the fact that once you know what to expect, it doesn't catch you off guard until you have an easier time processing what you're watching and being able to put the different puzzle pieces together and seeing how they fit. And in my personal opinion, from my perspective, they do fit. There are a couple of things that, again, you know, I can nitpick some stuff, but I liked being able to see how the pieces fit together the second time, whereas the first time it was more I was just emotionally reacting to everything that was being thrown at me. Mm-hmm. So I felt like the second viewing was far, far more enjoyable. I think if you're a Star Wars fan, especially if you're a Star Wars fan who didn't really care for the movie, you almost have to see it a second time. And it's still not going to fix it for everybody, but it will fix it for so many people that I think it's absolutely a must-see thing the second time.
And to your point, Eric, I think as Star Wars fans, it does deserve a second viewing for us to give it like more space.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there are people who just absolutely hate it and will have no interest in seeing it second time. And that's fine. That's their right. That's their prerogative. But I think that this movie, especially given the fact that this movie is more complex, I think, than any other Star Wars movie, whether to its benefit or to its detriment, it is more complex. And that alone, I think, justifies seeing it a second time to be able to properly absorb all of that stuff. And I think it should be done in the theaters on the big screen rather than waiting until it comes out on home video to do it that second time. I think you'll be able to have a better appreciation. You won't feel as much like you're being taken for a ride the second time as much as you'll feel like you're really able to sit and absorb it.
It's never the same when you get home in the small theater. I try to go see Star Wars movies and big movies like Marvel movies, like as many times as I can in the theaters. So the fact that I've only seen it twice is quite shocking for me.
But Eric, you also made a point Aren't You a Little Short for a podcast about wanting to really get very analytical about the movie from seeing it once it comes out on disc, so you can see it at home, you can watch it a few times over, you can look at certain parts of it and replay them over and over to kind of get a little more analytical about it.
Well, again,
which is something you necessarily can't do in a theater. So there's pros and cons to both of those experiences.
Well, the way I look at it is I've seen and had myself some particular complaints that when I saw it the second time, I'm like, oh, wait, no, that's not the case. That does work. There's this other thing here that I didn't really catch the first time. That complaint is completely negated. It's irrelevant. I think that, again, because the movie's so complex, when we're able to sit down and go over it a few more times, we'll be able to really dig into it. Because there is a lot to dig into with this movie. But that being said, I also want to warn people against overanalyzing it. And I'm going to sound like a hypocrite because that's kind of what we do here on the podcast. But we do it because we want to get as much as we can out of Star Wars, but be careful not to fall into the trap of analyzing it to the point where it becomes a logic puzzle as opposed to an emotional story. I think when you get a perspective about it, that you're watching the experiences of the characters and the emotions that they're going through, and you can kind of just enjoy the journey instead of picking apart the different plot elements. I've never watched a Star Wars movie because of the plot. And if you watch this one because of the plot, it's going to suck. You're not going to get the full enjoyment out of it. So
that's a good point. And I think, analyzing it as a thing to such a microscopic level tends to lessen the enjoyment.
Yeah, I if it's the game insight, or if it's because it's fun for you and enjoyable, then that's great. If it's to pick it apart, I mean, you can if you want, but just be careful. When you get into analyzing it and you're on your 17th or 18th viewing on the Blu-ray, just, you know, think about what it is you're trying to get out of that. Is it really because, I mean, you can analyze any movie to death.
Mm-hmm. Chris, how many times did you see the film?
I saw it once.
Oh, okay. So you didn't get a chance for the second viewing. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've had the opportunity to do it. I've just not taken it. And I'll tell you why. One, I think it's bad movie practice if you have to see a movie a second time to fully enjoy it. I think there are exceptions, and I'm not sure The Last Jedi is one of them. But the real reason that I haven't seen it yet is because with The Force Awakens, I saw it three times in theaters, and the third time I was checking my watch, waiting for it to be over. When I saw it on Blu-ray, after that, I got like halfway through it and turned it off because I kept getting distracted. And I've not watched it since. So I don't want to see the movie again and then feel worse about it than I do already. So I'm content with the one time. Like when it comes out on Blu-ray, I'll probably buy it and watch it. But I have no like motivation right now to go see it again.
Okay. Fair enough.
Not until I can like pause it and say, man, this movie sucks, and then put it back.
Okay. Hey, that's fair.
Wow.
That's fair.
Wow.
I'd rather have control over the movie rather than it having control over me.
Sure, sure. Shannon, how many times did you see the film?
I've only seen it the once. Okay. I do want to see a second time, but I have like a decent memory for certain things. So like, you know, it's one of those things where I was able to like think a lot about it without seeing it again, but I still want to, so I can see how my thoughts apply. Because like I've had a lot of thoughts about it, even having enjoyed it. And I would like to see if those thoughts like pan out, because like for me, you know, it's not necessarily about the theories, it's how I receive the movie. And if there's a feeling I have and I want to see if it is, you know, not justified, but you know, like it actually makes sense to feel that, that's what I want to know. Not, you know, if this tiny little minutia detail like three movies ago or whatever shows up like four movies later. That's never really been my way of enjoying things. But what I like to do is I like to see a movie, kind of sit back, think about it, and then go see it again and see if, you know, those thoughts that I have panned out. I have like six pages of notes and I've only seen the movie once. If that's enough to... Exactly. So I would love to see it again. I was just trying to check movie times, but they're not up till Wednesday for this weekend.
Sure.
Because, you know, I really liked it and I would like to see it again to kind of make sure it's not just because I'm easy to please. I want to make sure that I actually did enjoy this movie.
Good.
Yeah.
I'd like to chime in real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you don't mind, Tim. I would like just to point out to people, because I know I'm probably going to get a lot of hate from listeners saying, oh, you didn't like this, it's wrong, blah, blah, blah. I didn't fully appreciate The Phantom Menace as a movie, and people know that that's like my second or third favorite Star Wars movie, depending on the day.
Because it's a great movie.
Exactly. I didn't fully appreciate that movie until I saw it in 3D. And that was in what, 2012, I think? 2011, 2012?
Yep.
I mean, that's almost like, what, 15 years later? So, And this is coming from the kid that watched it on VHS over and over and over and over in between it and Attack of the Clones.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, sometimes
opinions can change, and sometimes it takes, you know, 15 years for that to really develop. But
sure.
Yeah. Well, one of the things my brother was like, sort of like talking to me about as we were discussing it in between, was he was like, we've had so much time with the other ones. This part of Star Wars to all of us in different ways, whether you're a prequel kid or whether you're an OG trilogy kid, is the time we've had with it, which has been significant for both of those trilogies. And even still Force Awakens and Rogue One, we just don't have as much time with it to, like, I don't know, watch it in a big group at a slumber party or whatever. You don't have slumber parties at a certain age, I guess, but like part of those are experiences that
Lou does every weekend.
Random chatter slumber party.
That's right.
That could be dangerous.
But that's part of what we don't have yet with these newer movies. And so with that in mind, I was like, okay, well, I'm willing to give it time. Mm-hmm. And not, and like sort of withhold judgment and say like, yeah, this is how I feel now, but emotions are obviously fluid and can change, as Chris is saying, like the Phantom Menace. I love the Phantom Menace. That one, I have such clear memories of like my theater experience and the hype going into it. And I think that's sort of how I felt about Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. And just because it's like having Star Wars back in your life again, there's something that will always be connected to that. Those two movies because of that. So I appreciate that perspective, Chris, because I think sometimes we forget that the time that we have with the other ones is so different than what we have with these.
Yeah. And I will say, I mean, of all the Star Wars movies, The Phantom Menace is definitely number one in chronological order. It definitely, it is a Star Wars film. And it happened at the beginning.
Eric, that is a hot take, and I want to hear more about it.
I just want to say, for the record, I want to be on the record about that.
That's good.
And there you go.
You know, Eric, I don't say this very often, but you are so right.
Dear God.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't say this very often, Eric, but I can disconnect you from the call.
You can, yes. And when I produce the episode and post it, I'll go on. Go ahead.
I think one of the things that's the most interesting about Star Wars is how different everybody's reactions are to it. And I think the problem becomes when we are so emotionally driven by our reaction that we don't listen to another person's reaction, which is just as interesting. And it's how it's so different and diverse and flavorful as a fandom, maybe over a lot of other fandoms. And I think we just need to, these conversations are really interesting and cool that we can just say like, okay, Chris, that's fine that you felt that way. And it's fine that I felt that way. And it's fine that Shannon was so giddy about it. She went out and bought four porgs. You know what I mean? Like,
well, here's,
I feel like
the
that's
thing.
Beautiful.
Other than the people who react to it inappropriately. And by that, I mean the way in which they handle other people.
Yes.
Okay. Other than the people who react socially inappropriately about it. This is a very different Star Wars. And the people who like this movie like the ways in which it's so different. But if it's so different, how can you fault the people who don't like it? It is different. And so it makes sense that there are going to be a lot of people who don't like it. So I don't understand.
That's a good point.
I don't understand the people who get so violent about the others who don't like it. And then I also don't understand the people who hate it, who call everybody who did like it losers, but
yeah, that I goes do back agree to the with that thing. I was talking to Shannon. It was about something completely different, but I think that it's very relevant about this. It's like people listen to reply and not really to actually understand other people. And I think that this applies to what's happening here. A lot of people go in, they hear somebody else's perspective, but not to understand, but to reply and kind of make them feel like they're wrong.
Exactly.
And that's not right. And I do agree, having these conversations and understanding somebody else's point of view about why they like it, you have to be open-minded and understand that, okay, if you're not looking at it that way, why is that? And why is their response appropriate to the way that they felt? So, I mean, people need to be just more open-minded and stop being so butthurt about,
and I think that's something
whether
that
it was good or bad.
As a culture, we do now. Like you said, that's absolutely on the dot. People only listen to they only hear the other person in order to collect information about how they're going to phrase their response and what they're going to reply with instead of actually listening and considering. People listen, but they don't consider what the other person's saying anymore. And that's sad.
What's that quote is sad. From Pulp Fiction? It's the question was, do you listen to what people have to say, or do you just wait to talk?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what social media oftentimes tends to perpetuate. Shannon, I think you hit a point.
Yeah. I mean, it was still kind of along those lines. I do, because of, the way I was raised and the way I see media, because I did go to film school, and I know I say that a lot, but it really formed a lot of my opinions on popular media and how people, like fans, view it. I do have a standard in when people are telling me what they don't like about something. I know that sounds shitty, but that standard is typically like, how do you treat humans? Mm-hmm. And the issue for me with a good chunk of the fandom around now is that a lot of their concerns are literally, they're not valid concerns. Not everybody, obviously, because if you have a genuine critique, I'm happy to hear it. I'm happy to listen. But when your critique is, I don't like that the hero is a woman, or that, John Boyega is, that the two main guys aren't white, like, that's when I start to like get my heckles up and I won't listen, because that's you've hit like the that's not okay, that's not normal. But I'm open to genuine critiques of story or characterization and things like that. But the second you bring in like, I made an all-male cut of The Last Jedi, we're done.
How scared of life do you have to be to go in and edit a popular movie to get rid of anything that doesn't resemble yourself? I mean, that really says something about where you are in life and how insecure you are.
Carrie Fisher.
What kind of a sad existence does that person lead? Like, for real.
That's the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I pity these. I'm not even angry at them. I just feel sad for them.
I just find it kind of amusing that they're just devoting so much energy to that.
Oh, I know. I think stuff. Nobody should share that thing.
Hey, look how insecure I am. I spent so many hours showing you guys how insecure I am. It's like they're proud of that.
Yeah. So like that's where it's hard for me to respect the difference when you're not respecting the stories of other types of people. That's the second I can't respect your opinion and I can't listen to it, because you can't respect the existence of other people and stories. Lando can't be the only black guy in Star Wars. Samuel Jackson can't be. We can't, like, it doesn't work that way. Unfortunately, the world isn't like that. And we can't allow ourselves as a fan base and as a culture to insulate ourselves from other stories. So that's, I do have a standard for critique and opinion, and that's it. Just how do you feel about humans?
Yeah.
I like that.
That's
like
very
that.
Alienist of you. I think that Admiral Akbar and some other characters might really take issue with that.
I know. Chewie, if you're listening, I apologize.
Anymore. He's just waiting to formulate his reply at this point.
How about how do you feel about other life forms? Okay. How about that?
Yeah. That's right. How do you feel about like people who, or not people, but like
life forms,
the existence of other life forms.
There you go.
Want to jump into our third question here. Going to start with Lizzie this time. Liz, what were some of your favorite parts of the film?
Okay. I will say that I loved every part of what Luke was a part of. I loved every scene with Luke. I know Chris will disagree, but I loved every part of it. And it's partly because my road to Last Jedi rewatch, I realized that Luke and Leia, because my entire life, whenever anyone's like, who's your favorite character in Star Wars? It's always been Leia. And that is completely valid. And it's still very true. But what I didn't realize was how attached I was to Luke. And it's just rewatching it, I was like, I love everything about him. And it's partly Mark Hamill in real life and how sort of you imprint Luke on a little bit of him and who he is and the kind of person he is in real life. That's just sort of normal when you've grown up with that, I think, sometimes, or not normal, whatever. But I just realized how much I love him and how how important he is to my Star Wars, the way I view it through my eyes. And so his journey, I was equally like, I loved, and I was equally also like, what the junk, you know what I mean? So I think, but I ultimately liked where his story went. And I just like, the other thing I really, really loved was the connection between Rey and Kylo, which I did not see coming at all. And the fact that they were force connected in their whole arc. And when they hit the precipice with Snoke and the whole thing, I loved that. Like, I thought that was amazing. Do I like where it went? Do I wish I had more of it? Do I think that Kylo should be the big bad in the universe? No, but that's okay. But anyways, Luke and then the Kylo and Rey. And then I agree. I liked the Canto Bite stuff. I thought it was so fun. It sort of made me think of Mos Eisley. I just think Lando should have definitely been there. I'm not sure why he wasn't there, but he should have been. If he's anywhere in the galaxy, he's at Canto Bite, like gambling. Come on.
He may still be on Bespin for all we know.
Yeah, who knows? and then Luke and Leia's reunion was beautiful and sad at the same time, knowing that that's all we'll ever see of the two of them, because given the circumstances. So lots of great things. So regardless of how I felt about it in the aftermath, so many good things going through. And I actually didn't think it was long enough. I was like, I mean, not long enough. It was long enough, but it wasn't too long for me because I was engaged the whole time, whether through anger or through happiness. I was engaged the whole time. So those are my favorite parts. I also love Rose. More Rose all the time, every day. I love her.
Cool. Very good. Chris, what were some of your favorite parts of the movie?
The credits.
Well,
wow.
You can always find a favorite part. If I can find a favorite part of Batman versus Superman, you can find something good to say.
Well, it's like I said, I enjoyed, and I would still say this today. I enjoy up until the lightsaber action sequence, which I think is my favorite part of the movie. Visually, it was done really well. I think the cinematography was excellent on it. So there's that. I thought the space battle at the beginning was very impressive. It continues what TFA did. I think TFA visually looked good in that regard as well as Rogue One. Rogue One, I think, is challenging the Battle of Endor for my favorite space battle. But this one is definitely up there. I liked Adam Driver's performance. I think he took the character of Kylo Ren in a different direction than where he was in TFA, and I think that benefited him. And also, Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher had fantastic performances, which honestly, I was worried about because I know Mark Hamill is talented, but I didn't know if he'd still have that sort of aura about him, as a physical actor and not just a voice actor. So I think he did very, very well. Carrie also did well. She improved based on The Force Awakens because, she didn't have a lot to do in The Force Awakens, but a lot of people kind of called her performance there stale. But I think she really, really gave it her all. And it's very unfortunate that she's no longer with us for an episode 9. But it's a good, great thing that her last film is a solid performance, because a lot of actors and actresses can't say that. Once they hit a certain age, like they've already peaked, and a lot of people, go downhill. And that's kind of not to know what they're remembered for, but sometimes that's a negative checkbox you can put in their career. But I think Carrie really, really deserves some plaudits on this one.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Her performance in this, she had some pretty important parts, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything else? Any other big scenes, Chris, that, that you really liked in the film?
No, I think I hit the big ones.
Okay. I forgot one. Oh, can I say one more really quick? I forgot one. No. Please, really
the
fast.
Window's kind of closed. I don't know.
No, no, no. Yes. Go ahead. I'm the leader now.
I accept PayPal.
Please. I loved Admiral Holdo. Like, I want so much more of her. And the scene with the hyperspace, like, that part just blew me away. And I was just, like, breathless in that moment. That was my other favorite part. Okay. That's all.
Nice. Okay. Very good. Carrie.
Well, this should surprise no one, but I really liked all of the stuff with Yoda, because Yoda is one of my favorite Star Wars characters ever. Sorry, Eric. And hey, you know what? I'm 5'3", and you know, if you can find someone who's shorter than you to work with in any martial art, you know, that's it's a plus, especially if they're better than you.
But proper grammar you have learned. Hooked on phonics, you need not. Okay. Go on.
Language matters not.
I am listening.
Okay. So I really loved everything with Yoda. I loved that they brought it back as a puppet. That whole sequence was just awesome. I also loved, just because that's where my sense of humor goes, I love that they built the first scene with Luke for as long as they could possibly go for it without him saying anything.
Not the milking scene, but milking the scene.
Not that scene.
Okay, just clarifying.
But I love that they milked him not talking for as long as they thought they could get away with it. I thought that was just awesome, especially with all of the stuff Mark has done about, you know, how he has lines now. Okay. that was awesome. And the lightsaber battles, both of them, I thought were really, really good, really well done.
Now, you know, Carrie, when I edit this episode, I'm just going to take the part where you say, I love that they milked Luke. And I'm just going to cut it right there.
Damn it, Eric.
I know, right?
That's fantastic. Lou, your favorite parts of the film?
Let's see. I would have to say my favorite parts were probably the space battle stuff in the beginning. Everything about that, I think, worked really well for me. I thought the way they shot it, the scene of Poe's X-wing just taking out all the turrets on the whatever that first ship was, the Marauder,
the Dreadnought.
That's right. And that to me was everything I love about Star Wars as a kid, was the space battles. You know, when I was first seeing it when I was that young, and it held my imagination, my interest for so long in that first part of the scene. I didn't care for the bombers per se, but anyway, I mean, that was what I thought was the best part of the movie. I thought for bringing me back to my little kid watching Star Wars as, you know, a 9-year-old.
Cool. Very cool. Andrea, what you got for us?
All right. Well, I enjoyed when Luke and Leia reunite. That was very emotional. I felt like every single time that Carrie Fisher was present in the scene, like, it just, my heart was just there with her. And it was so nice to see her daughter there too, performing. It was really nice. Even if it was just for a minor role, it was nice for them to have done that. When Kylo and Rey are fighting the guards, that was pretty enjoyable. I wish there would have been more of that. I do agree with Chris that Adam Driver's performance in this one really was amazing. I enjoyed it a lot more than the first movie. I think that for me, he was more his character was more redeemable I enjoyed seeing him perform in this one. And then one of the other favorite scenes was the final shot where Luke is just sitting on the rock, and it just brings the story full circle. It brought me back to him being in Tatooine and him looking at the suns. So I thought that was a really beautiful scene just to close his story. Yeah. I think that's the one that I remember the most, and talking to my parents about it, my dad was very emotional during that part. And like Lou said, whenever there's a space battle, it's just amazing. The adrenaline, just seeing everything get destroyed was just exciting. So those are the parts that I really enjoyed.
Awesome. Yeah, there were definitely the space battles were really, they were very energetic. I liked a lot of it, but they also, interestingly enough, held some suspense too.
Yes.
So it wasn't just these constant moments of movement and action. And I know some folks are a little critical of the longest space chase ever.
Yeah.
It's like the O.J. Simpson chase, but in space.
Yeah. And a little slower.
Hey, you weren't in L.A. for that chase. That was embarrassing.
But there are elements of that, you know, still hold suspense. And I like that it kind of moderated the pacing. It wasn't all action all the time. It wasn't a lot of lows. You had that up and down flow that held interest and then put you on the edge of your seat. And then you kind of sit back and you're trying to figure out what's going on, what's going to happen next. And then boom, something else comes in that kind of piques your interest. So yeah, I definitely agree with that. Shannon, tell us about your favorite parts.
So something that hasn't come up yet, I really loved kind of, not the point of, but the lesson of Poe's storyline. You know, what was really cool for me, first of all, I love that whole interaction with Hux at the beginning. That was, what a way to open a movie. Yeah.
that was awesome.
That was one of the times no one was laughing except me, by the way. And the comedic timing was so good and it was so disappointing.
It was almost too long, but by the time you realized it was getting too long, you figured out what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought was very funny. He's just like, okay, is he going to let up? And then just like, this is like that thing on Law and Order. Okay. I know what he's doing. But I liked that it was something when I thought about it, you know, it was a storyline that you identify emotionally with Poe. Because you don't know Holdo. So you don't trust Holdo. Like you mm-hmm. want to, you like her, but you don't trust her. So you identify with Poe and you're rooting for him. Meanwhile, you have no idea what you're rooting against. And by the time he realizes that his mutiny was the thing that would ruin their plan, you realize that you were like almost manipulated into rooting for like the antagonist of that plot. Without even realizing it. And I thought it was so beautifully done that when the plot twist, not the plot twist, but when the turn hit and you're just like, oh my God, like, why would I ever root against Laura Dern? Like, it was just, I thought that was astounding. And just the lesson that you can't let your emotions drive you because you have no idea what the consequences of that drive will be I thought that was beautiful.
Interesting. Yeah,
Shannon, I think you have the best explanation for that scene that I've ever heard that I've heard so far.
Thank you.
So thank you.
I kind of picked up on it, but I read a story about it. And I was like, that's what, because there's something about it was bugging me for days. And finally I read it. I was like, that's what it was. I thought that was a beautiful theme because it felt like the movie had a theme of like failure and learning, which is, you know, for me was probably why it felt less hopeful. Because it was a lot, there was a lot of failure. But that leads me into my next thing. Luke's like struggling with his trauma and guilt felt very real. And a lot of people were dragging it for being out of character. But when something happens, it's really bad to you, you fall out of character, you change. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that felt very real. I loved Canto Bight and I loved the war profiteering like point. Because you never really thought about it like, oh, well, who's supplying all the weapons? all these rich people and how, you know, Rose was so driven to stop them because they ruined her home planet. I gotta mention Read Them, Have You. And then, like, I thought that line from Yoda was choice.
Mm,
like, yes. Oh, the secret text. Like, oh, Read Them, Have You? Like, and best for last, Carrie Fisher was astounding. She was beautiful and strong. And God, when she started, like, verbally beating on Poe, I was, like, with her. And I love Oscar Isaac, but I was with her. And for me, I think the most important thing about her performance was getting to see Leia use the Force, finally. Because, you know, you can't keep telling us the Force is strong in Leia and never let us see it. So I know a lot of people, I think the visuals kind of threw me out of it, but the idea was still very important to me to see Leia using the Force finally on screen. I was like there. I was 100% for that. And I was so glad that she got to do that. But yeah, my heart always with Carrie Fisher.
Well, that was something I brought up in Slack. Is like, I haven't heard this on any other podcast. It's like this, that scene, for as weird as it kind of looked, that perpetuates this reputation Leia has of the self-rescuing princess. Unfortunately, she did it in such a big way that any way they could think to kill her off before or during episode 9 is just going to seem like...
Yeah.
What?
I don't know. I think they've gotten an easy out. I think that if... It would be easy to explain that there are certain physiological effects that would cause on a person, because there in fact are. And that, I mean, she's just not going to last a whole lot longer after that. It wouldn't surprise me if, she, you know, they open episode 9 with her having died as a result of the effect, the toll that took on her body.
Yeah, that she succumbed to.
I don't know. That's going to feel like a cheat to me.
It doesn't to me because it physiologically makes sense.
Yeah, but if we wanted that much science in Star Wars, you know.
I'm not saying they have to do a midichlorian count. I'm just saying.
No, I understand. And I like when they inject science in Star Wars, but I'm not looking for that much of it in Star Wars as a Star
and Wars. And I feel like if you start dissecting it to that, like to the molecules of it, then you kind of lose that mystical aspect of it. So I really don't think they should dissect it too far.
No, I don't think they should either.
She kind of falls into the Sirius Black trap for the books for Harry Potter's. You know, Sirius Black has this great reputation, and in the book he's killed by drapery. You know, and it's two sentences in the book. They fixed it. They fixed it kind of in the movie, but you know, it's, you know.
Well, the one issue is that they've already committed to not putting her digitally in this movie. So they're going to, unfortunately, it's going to be something and we won't be satisfied, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
And you can't get mad at that. You can't. Like there's only so much that they can do at this point. Right. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I think folks are going to have to, they really have to accept the fact that the opening crawl is probably going to kill Princess Leia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That's what will actually end up killing her. That will be her demise, where they're going to say,
it'll be okay as long as they don't set the whole movie up and say P.S. Leia is dead.
Yeah. So it's either going to be she succumbed to her injuries from being sucked into the vacuum of space, or there was an assassination, or something transpired, but she's probably going to get killed off in the opening crawl.
Or it's a time jump, and she died of old age.
It'd be
a heck of a time jump.
I just hope that whether it's a time jump, whether she just passes away, we get kind of like a ceremony for it. I feel like that would just be so like amazing for Carrie Fisher, but also for Leia, just to have that kind of like funeral aspect of it. So hopefully they do something like that, just to pay tribute to her.
That would be, because everybody else got beautiful, if not just tragic, you know, death goodbye scenes. And, you know, Leia is just as iconic as Han and Luke, and she deserves it. And
I don't think Han Solo got his honorable death.
I said tragic. I said
okay.
It was very emotionally moving.
Hey, did you guys see the write-ups of the translations of some of the bombs they dropped on that dreadnought? Like, some of them said Han says hi and stuff like that. That was a funeral right there.
That's funny. Eric, what were your favorite scenes out of the film?
I would say any of the scenes with Luke. I think that I acknowledge a lot of the complaints people have, but the one that confuses me, and no matter how much people try to explain it to me, it doesn't make any progress at all with me, is how you could say that this was out of character for Luke. To me, this was exactly in character for Luke. And it was exactly the type of thing I expected they would do with him. I'm not saying I predicted every single element of it, but I predicted this general direction with the character, because to me, that seems like the natural projection for the character based on where things have gone with the sequels. I loved every scene with Luke in it, including the battle at the end. The force projection thing I thought was brilliant. The death at the end as well. And then my second favorite thing was anything with Rey. I absolutely love Rey as a character. I could go on and on and on about it. I know we've got a long show today, but just basically everything about Rey as a character. In fact, Rey may be my new favorite Star Wars character overall.
Daisy wins hearts.
Yeah, well, yes. And the fact that Daisy Ridley is so awesome anyway helps. But even trying to separate that and objectively look at Rey, I think that this was such a move forward for her character. And I really liked that. I think that Kylo Ren was a much better character in this movie. And I agree with what Chris said, that Adam Driver did a much better performance in this one. Not that his performance was bad in Episode 7, but they gave him an opportunity, I think, to really get into the character a little bit, like to really express the character, I guess, is what I want to say. That being said, I still don't like Kylo Ren as a villain. And in fact, news today, he was ranked the number 7 best villain in cinematic history based on a poll that was taken today. And I just, that boggles my mind. And Shannon just got up and left.
Yeah, I was like, what is going on here?
Yes, really. Jesus. We'll probably delve into that more on a future episode. But I didn't like Kylo Ren as a villain. I still don't. I like the fact that they're developing him, and that's great. But he needs to be a villain early in the trilogy, not just at the end of the trilogy. So, but that being said, I liked the character development for Kylo Ren. I thought that was spot on. I like everything else that everybody already mentioned, the stuff with Leia, the battle at the beginning, and et cetera. But for me, the real standout things that I just fell in love with were what they did with Luke and what they did with Rey.
Great. Eric, we'll continue with you since we have you right on. What were some of your least favorite parts of the film?
The time frame. I understand they needed to pick up with Luke and Rey right after the events of Episode 7, but the rest of it, just like I said earlier in the show, it felt like an epilogue instead of a new movie. As far as the time frame goes. And when you look back at the other Star Wars trilogies, the original trilogy spanned a larger period of time. The prequels, you have the entire Clone Wars TV series in between Episodes 2 and 3. And here, I mean, you could end up doing the whole trilogy within a matter of a few days. And it just seems way, way too rushed,
too
I guess.
Short.
or the opposite of rushed. It's such a compressed time for, it's like an episode of 24 or a season of 24, but what's that, Tim?
Can I ask you guys a question? Because you're talking about time frame of this, and it's something that I've kind of wondered before. Do you think that the elements of the story are actually asynchronous, particularly that of Luke and Rey, because that clearly takes place over a period of several days? Is that a story that's not necessarily happening in the exact same timeline as the rest of the film?
I think that the Canto Bight stuff, it matters. And I think the Luke and Rey stuff, it doesn't matter. Now, that being said, I just go under the assumption that, yes, it is, because even if you can nitpick and figure out why it doesn't perfectly match up, I don't care. It doesn't affect me absorbing the story. I don't care whether it happened 7:52 p.m. or 8:30 in the morning versus the other thing happening at 2:15. Like, it's close enough. It gets the story told.
Right.
But there is a little bit of an explanation. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It falls into the same argument as Empire Strikes Back in that respect. You know, how long was Luke on Dagobah, and how long were the rest of them in the Falcon before they got to Bespin?
Right.
Right.
As long as they needed to be.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think that, and I saw an explanation about the Canto Bight timeline matching up with everything else and how long it took them to travel there versus getting back, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. I'd probably nitpick that a little bit more than the Luke and Leia or the Luke and Rey thing. But I mean, that is a good question. So anyway, the time frame really bugged me. I don't like some of the things that are now set up for episode 9, especially again, Kylo being the villain and the Snoke thing. Unless he was just a force projection, which I personally think would be a brilliant way to have handled it. And I know it would probably piss a lot of people off. But to me, if Snoke is going to be, outside of the movie, it has been said that he is more powerful than Palpatine. This would be a really good example of it. And if he's not Sith, then this whole dichotomy of light side powers versus dark side powers, it doesn't necessarily need to be so well delineated and so clear cut. So why couldn't he do force projection? And if he's so smart, it would, I mean, he's got a pupil who he already doesn't trust and already knows is conflicted between the light and the dark. It would make sense that he wouldn't trust him in this moment either, and that this would be a way he could turn him over to the dark to make Kylo think that he just killed his master when really he didn't. Like, there are ways to me that I'd like to see that. But as of right now, I think that they painted themselves into a corner a little bit in episode 9. And that was something that I don't like about episode 8.
Hmm. Okay. Some good points. And our next question is actually going to be about anticipations for episode 9. And I think that's going to tie in pretty well. Andrea, what were your least favorite parts of The Last Jedi?
I think just Snoke's storyline, I felt like there was a lot to be desired. I didn't get any information about him other than, oh, he's so powerful and this and that. And like what Eric was saying, I was like, he was just killed like an idiot. And I didn't like it. I just felt like it was lackluster. And I'm hoping that they do a little bit more with him in the next movie, but I'm just not sure. I was reading an interview and they were saying that just the reason why they didn't go deeper into his story was because it would just be a lot of dialogue. It would just take away from the actual scene that was happening. And I was like, okay, well, just why not just do a flashback? Why not just give us something else? And again, it just runs with how long the movie was already. So there's only so much that they can do. So hoping that something is done with that, but I'm not sure. I felt, and these are just minor little things, some of the jokes really didn't hit well with me. They were just like cringeworthy. Like Luke milking that creature thing. I just felt like I didn't need to see that. It was just like,
what
I hated
in the world
it.
Was that about?
It was
demonstrating the point to which Luke is roughing it.
Right, but we didn't need to see that.
To get rid of Ray, the things
that exactly. Exactly.
I just feel like something else could have been done. I felt that Chewbacca was treated like a dog. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
That's
Can you
okay.
believe it out?
I know you guys think editing is easy and not at all time consuming. I get it. You and Shannon both now.
Mine is easy to get rid of.
I just felt like the whole entire movie, he was just Ray's babysitter. When he like pushes the door and Luke sees him for the first time, that there wasn't kind of like that emotional connection that we saw when Luke sees R2-D2 after so long. And I feel like he's just been put in the back burner, and it kind of makes me sad because Chewie is one of my favorite characters. And the other one that I was just like, why? Maybe this is a Disney thing that they're trying to add in here, but I'm not sure. And it felt so forced was the kiss between Rose and Finn. It was just awkward to me. I don't know, too quick, too forced, didn't fit well with the scene. I didn't enjoy it. So those are just some of the things that I thought were either cringeworthy, I didn't understand them, or we could have done without them.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, with that kiss, I think the awkward thing is because it was awkward for Finn.
Maybe.
But I think it was supposed to be.
It's going to be awkward for Finn when Rose gets up.
I mean, Rose very clearly idolized him. He was a hero to her, and that was their initial interaction. And I think she took that kind of hero worship into some feelings of love or quasi love, and then that kiss, and that was very awkward for him. So as an audience member, I felt awkward for him because of it. I think the scene was okay, but I get what you're saying there. I definitely get what you're saying.
Well, she also clearly thought she was dying, and that again,
I saved your life against your will.
Exactly, I saved your life against your will, and I love her though. So I'm gonna kiss you goodbye, and then crap, now I'm awake, and this is awkward.
Let's see, Lou, what were some of your least favorite scenes?
I'm going to sound like a broken record here and say the Snoke stuff. I mean, I they just didn't use Snoke to their, most advantageous point. They've done this before with anti-heroes too, and villains. They just don't use them. They get rid of them too soon. It's like, you've made this great character. We've all wanted to know what was going on with him. We all wanted the backstory. We all wanted to know how he manipulated Ben, and we don't get any of that. And now he's gone.
But I think less so, Lou, what you just said, if you think of, like, maybe General Grievous was the only one that was used as little as Snoke, as far as Snoke actually doing anything.
Mm. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Snoke didn't do anything at all. I mean, he was there, and we were promised stories about him, more information about him. There was that. There was the Knights of Ren we had no information on now. I wanted the backstory on that, or at least a little bit of, a sense of place of where they fit into the story.
Right.
We didn't get that. I mean, we can assume they are the other students that left with him from Luke's academy, but, we don't know. I mean, all this detail that we expected to get in this movie that we didn't get, that was what I didn't like about this. So, I mean, that to me is the biggest downfall in this movie. That and flying Leia.
It's behind you.
And Lou, your cat definitely was disappointed with those scenes as well.
More stuff I have to edit out.
I waited till he was done speaking on purpose, Eric.
I still have to edit it. I still have to hunt it down and do it. It doesn't help.
Chris.
Just like porgs, Eric. Hunt them down.
Chris, what do you have for us with your least favorite parts of the film?
Oh, here we go.
Are you sure you're ready?
Let's just sit down and wait.
Pull up a chair.
Skip to page 7, and we'll just start from there. You can skip the prologue and...
All jokes aside, Chris has been pretty balanced. He offered up
absolutely
some things that he liked about it, and so
yeah, Chris, I'm not going to go into the whole Snoke thing. I think that's a big missed opportunity. I pretty much agree with what everyone else has said. Same with Knights of Ren. I mean, you even show them in The Force Awakens, and we don't see it.
Yeah,
like it's don't even get me started.
And showing us specifically as a tease. That's the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
The tease implies there'll be more later.
Perhaps my biggest gripe with this movie is it's weird because usually what makes a movie, what brings a movie down for me are the like minor things and the fact that there are just so many of them. Like Attack of the Clones, for example, I really like that's my least favorite Star Wars film. I don't have a problem necessarily with the story and the way it was presented. I have a problem with, you know, things like dialogue and character moments and visual stuff. And it's, you know, it's nothing major in terms of story, but it's just minor things that just when I watch the movie, I can't help but notice it. This movie does not have that, which is a good thing. However, the things that I have the most issue with are the big things. And that's something that, you know, you don't really have. I've never really had with Star Wars before. It's like for when you ask people, why don't they like The Phantom Menace? A lot of people say Jar Jar. Well, Jar Jar is just a minor portion of that movie. Like, if you take him out, if you delete all of the scenes except the ones where he's absolutely essential, does it make a better movie for you? And you can't do that with Last Jedi. My biggest gripe, therefore, is Luke. Like I said before, I enjoy everything up until the third act, right after Rey rejects Kylo's offer to join him. My issue is that when you look from episode 6 and you go into episode 7, there's just so much in between that we have no idea what happens that it really just brings down the movie. And that's how I feel about Luke. I see his character and I can understand why he feels the way he does about like Ben and isolating himself from the Force and all of that. But I don't have a reason to believe, for example, that he would try to kill him in his sleep. I know some people like Eric believe like can see it, but I don't. I sort of feel like this would be better instead of an episode 7, 8, and 9 if it was a 10, 11, 12. Like if 7, 8, and 9 was a trilogy of stories covering the 30 years, you know, that's something different. If we saw like Luke training and in his Jedi prime and reasons for why he doesn't trust Ben. Like we're just, oh yeah, Ben had some dark side in him and Luke didn't want him to become Vader, so he almost tried to kill him.
I agree, Chris. Maybe if we got the trilogy about Luke training Ben, like if that were its own.
Yeah, and if like we led up to that moment, okay, yeah. I understand it. But we're just, it's a one line of dialogue with one little scene that we're just supposed to go off of.
Yeah, the lack of context for the last 30 years is still probably the biggest problem with the trilogy so far.
Exactly. And that's why I said that the whole thing on Crait, like I like it for what it is, but I wish it was in episode 9. I wish they would have like made some kind of cliffhanger and wrapped up, because we're already talking about how the movie's very long as it is. If you wrap it up earlier, like maybe the cliffhanger is we don't know if Rey is going to join Kylo or not. Like that's the movie just ends there, and then you pick up right after that. Have Crait show Luke dying. Like I'm fine with it then.
it's just it's sad because after seeing this movie, I realized that the sequel trilogy is going to be definitely not going to be in the same like realm as the original trilogy in terms of enjoyability and overall like top-notch work, but it suffers the same problems that the prequels do, in that they're trying to fit so much story into three movies without talking about the stuff that we need to know about. For example, we see Anakin and Obi-Wan have this really good friendship in episode three, but we don't know how. We're just supposed to believe that, oh yeah, Anakin's been, you know, going down this dark path for a while now, hence how he becomes Darth Vader. You know, we don't get that. We get it. We have it now with the Clone Wars. But if we didn't have that, I mean, we don't have that 30-year gap, like I was saying. And it's just, I don't know. It really, really, really brings the movie down. And just to get off that point for a little bit, Knights of Ren, wasted opportunity. And I said this on Twitter the other day. I would have rather seen a movie without any first order nonsense, no resistance, none of that. Just start the movie with Luke training his Jedi, and then have like a little sequence of, you know, Ben being up to no good. And then you can even have the Luke tries to kill him thing, and have just Kylo and the Knights of Ren be the primary villain. Make it smaller rather than some like big grandiose another Republic versus Empire or Rebel versus Empire story, because that's what we're getting. It's just a rehash.
Yeah, almost like a Jedi, like a variation of a Jedi Academy story.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm surprised, Chris. You and I agree on way more than I thought we do. Like maybe not some of the particulars, but in concept, like. Yeah, I second almost everything you've said.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is just me being a little hurt by the fact that not only do we not have Carrie Fisher anymore, so we're not going to have her in episode 9.
Yeah.
But I loved Mark Hamill so much that I wish we'd see him more than just a Force ghost in episode 9. And it's just, I don't know, it's...
But so
it's just sad because, you know, we're not getting this big epic trilogy like we were expecting.
I want to say something about that, though. So first, not only does him dying and then coming back as a Force ghost kind of mirror or at least reflect Obi-Wan in the original trilogy, which he is now kind of the Obi-Wan character. So there's some literary fulfillment there. But if they kept him all the way through to the end, again, from a literary perspective, it would make sense to have him die at the end of that film. I mean, the trilogy is supposed to be about the new generation of characters. Mm-hmm. If they do that, that's his end. If they have his death a little bit sooner, then he can be a Force ghost. And now at the end of the trilogy, we know he continues, and we have gotten to see some of that. And like when we walk out of episode 9, in our hearts, we will feel that Luke is still with us, as opposed to if we got the scene that we just got, like if episode 9 were to end with what episode 8 ended with, then we wouldn't have that same feeling. So I understand what you're saying, Chris, and it's very bittersweet for me too, because like I said, Luke was probably tied for my favorite aspect of this entire movie. And mm-hmm. and now he's gone. But to me, I think getting to see him as a Force ghost reinforces the fact that he not only does he continue on, but we get to actually witness some of that. So it becomes a little bit more tangible for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. I guess my counterpoint would be that if this was the end of the trilogy, I wouldn't have to see Luke as a Force ghost. I would just assume that he's going to be one. And I would rather see them do other things with his character to make it. Cause I mean, he died as, I mean, people can say, yeah, he died a hero and he died a legend and all that stuff. But again, we have no reason to believe that.
for all we know, he was just, he wasn't helping Rey. He wasn't helping the resistance. He was helping Leia. And
well, we do.
That's all he had motivation for.
We do see the fact that he died as a hero. We do get to see some evidence of that in the sense that the stable boy retelling the story of what he did on Crate mm-hmm. to the other kids in the stable. That is kind of what indicates that the hero moment has now become a legend and it's getting passed around and it's, you know, it's providing hope for those who had none. So I think if they'd left that scene out, then I would agree with you completely. It'd be like, okay, well, you know, he's doing Leia a favor and letting them escape. But, and I didn't really feel that way the first time around either. It wasn't really until the second time where I kind of felt like, oh wow, there's a whole theme there about what Luke is doing. It's like he's coming to a realization that not only was he wrong in the stance he took earlier, but he's seeing how much more powerful that can be beyond just what, like the idol worship of being a hero. He sees that it's about more than that.
Well, the thing is that when you look back at who Luke was, I mean, I'm not just saying that because of the way that I saw it, but just talking to other people and reading other comments, Luke was never like, quote unquote, that hero, like epitome of what you want to be. When he was training with Yoda, he was whiny about having to do certain things. Like,
yeah.
He was immature. He was young. He was still learning. He thought his ways were right and everybody was wrong. I mean, and he was human. And I think that people start forgetting that when you start putting him on a pedestal. He was human. He made mistakes. Everything that happened with Kylo, he thought he was doing the right thing, trying to kill him, but in the end everything just backfired because he thought that he had the right mentality going forward. And you know what, I think Shannon was the one that pointed it out, is that he is very flawed and his experiences are what shaped the attitudes that he had in this movie. In my opinion, I didn't like seeing this Luke. It was really hard for me to see him the way that he portrayed himself in this movie because I cared about him in the other movies. I think that one of the scenes that I didn't like was when he grabs his lightsaber, something that was meaningful, something that to me was so symbolic because of everything he did with it, and he just chucks it. I feel like that was the only time where I was like, holy crap, this is not the Luke I love and I grew up with. But other than that, after a while, after analyzing, after talking to people, then I can really see where he's coming from. So I can't really fault him for his attitude. I just wish we could have gotten more backstory. And I think that that's what it comes down to. We watch a movie. There's so many holes and so many empty spaces that there's no closure. And that's how I feel about it.
There was certainly a lot to be accomplished in this film. Even though this was the longest Star Wars film, there were really a lot of things that they needed to take care of with the direction that Rian Johnson took it. So I think there were a lot of challenges there. Shannon, I know you had, I think, some comments on some of the stuff that Chris said, and I'll also basically turn the mic over to you to talk about your least favorite parts of the film.
Thanks. Basically along the lines of what Andrew said, I understand completely wanting more backstory on, you know, why Luke feels this way. However, he does tell you immediately that he realized what he was doing was wrong. So to say that Luke would never do that, he also recognized that he would never do that. So, you know, to fault him for something that he himself literally says, I faulted, you know, I think, you know, if he said that in the film, like, I understand you want the backstory for it, but again, Luke says in the film, I started to do it and I was like, wait, I would never do this. So he acknowledged that he would never do it. So I think to like be like, well, I hate that he would never do it again. So did he. And that is why he did not do it. And I think that's very important to not forget, because he did lie about it because he was ashamed of it. And when he told the truth, he said, well, I almost did it. And then I realized that's not me. And so I didn't do it, but it was too late. The whole point, again, is failure and defeat and disappointment. He disappointed himself and he was ashamed of it, but he can't fix it. And he can't fix it to the viewers, but he tells you that he knows he can't fix it. Mm-hmm. So
and
I don't.
Once he was
I
caught in the moment, it was too late for him to take it back.
Right. And I don't want to take that moment away from Luke by saying, man, I really hated that he did that, because so did he. And mm-hmm. I feel like saying that that shouldn't have happened takes away from an integral part of Luke's story in this film.
But I can understand. I can understand why people look at it and get upset by it, though.
Well, yeah, so do I. I just, you know, within the context of the film, because that's unfortunately what we have. You know, we don't have the context, and that's why it's frustrating. But again, yeah. You know, I don't agree. And so, you know, it is, I am allowed to, you know, say that. And there's a lot of things I also find this trilogy very enjoyable, and that's just me, and that's fine. And it's fine that Chris doesn't. But again, I just want to make sure that our personal feelings aren't getting in the way of the character, because this is his journey. And I don't want to say that that was a wrong thing just because we don't have the context for it. Because again, that was a huge part of his arc in this story, was recognizing that he disappointed himself. So.
Well, to Shannon's point, you know, I think we're all supposed to be horrified by the idea that Luke would do this, because, you know, we know that Luke would never do this. And obviously he got to that point, and well, now, yeah.
He realized
it too late. No, go ahead, Andrea.
No. I was just going to say, like, what you were saying and what Shannon was saying, it almost reminds me when Anakin is about to kill the younglings, when you see him towering over Kylo when he's sleeping and you see the lightsaber, it just reminded me that I didn't think about it until right now when we were just discussing it. And it just brings back the Darth Vader, that you know what, like, there is that little sense of that, and he does make mistakes. And again, he's just not perfect. And that's what we want him to be. We want him to be perfect, but he's not.
Well, I think there's two points to remember in here too. One, we don't know what the truth is. We've heard two sides of the story, one from Kylo, one from him. You know, there's three sides to every story. Yours, mine, and the truth. Mm-hmm. So we don't have the truth yet. And also I think that
from him,
what's
Luke
that?
Told the story twice. So Luke, you can't even trust him because he told the story twice.
Yeah,
exactly. So we don't really know what happened and what his motivations were. But it's also, you know, to your guys' point, he is very human. He's very, you know, we're flawed.
Yeah. Shannon, I want to stick with you for your thoughts on least favorite parts of the film.
Sure. So I agree again. Knights of Ren and Snoke. You can't tease us with the Knights of Ren and bring them up and, you know, have a Kylo Ren. Like, you know, we want to know what that means. We want to know what the title means. We want to know just what their motivation is and, you know, how they formed. Who are they? Like, we don't know if they're his, you know, fellow students or if they were older than him and were part of the influence. We just don't know. And they still haven't told us. And if this is a trilogy, we now have one movie left. And it's an obnoxious thing to introduce in a last movie. When we had a whole middle movie, we could have at least hinted at them again. And again, with Snoke, it's just you introduced him, made him a big bad, and then supposedly killed him with no closure for that, for this supposedly huge villain. I mean, I liked how that whole scene was done, but the implication to Snoke's story is a little muddling and frustrating. Mm-hmm. And this is a fun one that I've talked about with a coworker. I loved Holdo, and I think she deserved more than one movie for what we were given. And we had come up with, like, and this will be quick, I promise. We came up with a way that could have fixed it and given Admiral Ackbar the death he deserved.
I agree.
Wait, here we go. So say this happens. Akbar doesn't die, right? He doesn't get blown out into space. He survives. He gets promoted in place of Leia and Holdo. So we get more time with Holdo. And at the end, he sacrifices himself. Oh. A fan favorite gets, you know, a good death. He's remembered for being a hero. And we get another movie with Holdo. I would prefer that than having this amazing female character with clearly a rich backstory in the Resistance that only showed up for one movie to, again, like I said earlier, trick us emotionally. I mean, I love Laura Dern, and I believe she deserved more than this one-off, and they could have done justice to Akbar and Holdo at the same time in a way that wouldn't really affect the story much, but would still give you the same, like... But I think I also get that that probably could have interfered with the Poe versus Holdo storyline, because, you know, who wants to side against Admiral Akbar? But it's just, it's something that leaves a bad taste in my mouth that we got this incredibly decorated, ethereal, wonderful and brave and strong character that just died at the end of the sacrifice at the end of the movie. And we don't know what that sacrifice means fully. We just know that she'd do it. And I don't know, that just, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I really would have preferred her for another movie.
I think, Shannon, you have a point. I think, but, you know, Akbar was a known quantity. Poe would have had reason to trust Akbar, whereas he wouldn't have had any reason to trust him.
Yeah, it would have affected that whole storyline, yeah. But damn, like, it just, something about the way they both were done just really.
It would have been a lot more interesting to see it that way, though, like him sacrificing himself, and that would have been an honorable death. That would have been like breathtaking. For once,
he makes the trap.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Very nice, Shannon. Let him create a trap. He deserves it. Nice. But yeah, those are really the only two things. And I guess that just the incorporation of the timelines again. It just. That might have been for me why it felt a little overlong, because like I liked every storyline, but just the way they were, something about it just made it feel long by the time we got to Crait. And I wouldn't cut anything, but I don't know, man.
Sure. Carrie, same question. What were some of your least favorite parts of the film?
I'm pretty much echoing the same stuff you guys have echoed, you know, just the lack of explanation for, you know, Snoke, the Knights of Ren, a couple, you know, that where Luke has been this entire time, just the lack of backstory. And I understand that they really couldn't devote any time to it in this movie, but with everything else they packed into it. But, you know, you shouldn't have to do, as you know, as we've said, you shouldn't have to do the reading to know what's been going on for the past 30 years. And so that was a bit disappointing. And plus, I still have people asking me questions that I can't answer, and it's annoying. Like, who are these people? I don't know. I couldn't tell you. So yeah, just the lack of information that they've given to us is my least favorite part of the movie.
Okay.
The continued lack of information.
Yeah. All right. So our last question here, we're actually going to lightning round, just for the sake of time. We've been running about an hour and a half or so on the episode. So we're going to fly through, folks. For listeners, in case they're wondering where Liz is, she had to jump off a little while ago. So I'm not skipping over her. she had to depart our group here. So Shannon, what do you expect to see from episode 9? Lightning round, go.
Well, as was touched on earlier, I expect to see Luke as a Force ghost. I got the feeling at the end of the movie that it was supposed to be like Rey had a turn with each trilogy star, like finding her parents, because, you know, I think she's learning that her parentage doesn't define who she is. But unfortunately, we don't have Carrie, because it felt like she was going to have the movie with Leia for the first time. So I think they are forced to do Luke Ghost Force Forced ghost. See, I said forced and now it threw me off. I think they're forced to do it in a way that they weren't before we lost Carrie. And so I feel like he's going to have more of a presence and he's going to have to, you know, step into that role, but not necessarily too overbearing. It's hard for me to tell yet. I really had a good feeling, but obviously we don't have Carrie. I'm not sure how Kylo's going to do. Not sure if he's still going to be tiptoeing the line or if he's really going to fall. I know that it looks like he's falling, but this movie seems like it's just going to keep repeating that he could be saved. So I'm not sure. It's just hard because they've skipped so many plot points that they developed in the first movie that I can't decide what I'm going to see. And the one thing I thought I would see, I can't. And it's nobody's fault. Can't blame anybody for it. It's just an unfortunate situation.
Sure. Sure. Eric. What do you expect to see in episode 9?
I expect to see Snoke again. I expect to see, and I'm saying these are things I want to see. These are just predictions. I expect we're going to see Phasma again. And I think we're going to see Luke's Force Ghost. And, I think those are the three primary things. And I think the Force Ghost for Luke is kind of a safe bet. As for anything else, I'll hold off for now.
Okay. Lou, what do you expect to see in episode 9?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not the kind of guy that looks for spoilers and tries to guess what's going to appear on screen in most cases. I don't want to do that to myself. I think we'll see Phasma again. I'm like everybody else, I think we're going to see Luke's Force Ghost. I just don't know if we're going to see Rey, taking on the mantle of becoming a Jedi and doing that whole thing, or if she's going to find her own way. I guess that's the one thing in my mind that I'm kind of curious about, where it's going to go. Are we going to see Rey do the whole training thing like Luke did on his own, or is she going to go some other way?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. Chris. Episode 9 predictions.
Honestly, there's a difference between predictions and expectations. I have zero expectations for this film just because I don't know. Like, I can't tell you the direction that they're going to go with it. Mm-hmm. Usually that's pretty obvious with a movie that is guaranteed to have a sequel, but not in this case. I pretty much echo some of the things that have been said before, like, you know, Luke's Force Ghost and whatnot. I would like to see some loose ends wrapped up. I do not want to see Phasma. I think she was a wasted character and should stay that way. Don't try to fix her.
Sad, but true.
I would like to see some kind of curveball in regards to the Force. And because I think this movie set up some foundations for making us view the Force in a different way. And I would like to see that come true in this one. For example, if you watch the movies in chronological order, you're not expecting Obi-Wan to disappear and then show up as a Force ghost. That chronologically changes the way we look at the Force. I would like to see this trilogy do this something similar. I expect we'll see a time skip of some sort, even if it's just a few weeks.
I hope so.
I don't want episode 7.8 to go off what Eric said. And finally, and this is actually something I thought of right where we're here on the call. You know, we're talking about how we're going to address Leia. I would kind of like to see her. I mean, she has to pass away, unfortunately, but I would like to see maybe her die, but her life force goes to Luke.
No, that's interesting.
Ooh, that could be
interesting. That's really interesting. I've never heard that before, Chris.
I've not heard it either. I literally just thought of it. So if it happens, you heard it here first.
Okay. Interesting.
Oh, and one more thing.
Yes.
Before I was going to say this, but I almost forgot. I think The Last Jedi, one of its positive things, made The Force Awakens a better movie. I sincerely hope that Episode 9 makes The Last Jedi a better movie, while also being good on its own.
Okay. Okay, cool. Andrea, what are your expectations for Episode 9?
Well, I hope we get that Snoke backstory that I'm longing for. I feel like Kylo's story is very slow, but I do 100% believe he's not redeemable. He needs to die. Like, I cannot see him being a good guy anymore. He has tripped so many times that if they turn him into a good guy, I'm just going to, like, have a nervous breakdown. And we'll film it, okay?
You're going to start a change.org petition.
Don't you dare.
I think, and I'm hoping that it doesn't, but because of the last two movies, I think that it might happen. I'm expecting the Millennium Falcon to be destroyed, and I'm expecting Chewbacca to die. I just feel like throughout the last two movies, they've kind of started killing off some of the most iconic characters of the actual Star Wars movies in order to bring new Star Wars to light. And I feel like it's going to break my heart if it happens, but I think the Millennium Falcon needs to go and Chewbacca needs to pass, which is going to be sad because, I mean, it's Chewie and I'm going to cry and I'm going to need a shoulder to cry on. So I think that's just some of the things that might happen.
Well, thanks for bringing us way down, Andrea.
Sorry, I'm negative Nancy.
Appreciate that. Carrie, what do you expect to see from Episode 9?
Well, okay, so expectations are a bit weird with me because in my real life, you know, if I expectations have the tendency to get me smacked if I'm expecting my teacher to do one thing and she does something else. I would like to see more of Snoke. I would, Phasma, I can take or leave. I would like to see Luke's Force Ghost. I would kind of like to see him taunting Kylo Ren, because I just think that would be awesome. Mm-hmm. If he just, you know, it goes back and forth between Rey and Ben and, you know, just haunts Ben, that would be awesome. I would also kind of like to see Anakin come back as a Force Ghost and give Ben a good talking to. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Christian!
Do you have a question?
No, I have something to say.
Yes?
And I want everybody's opinions because it was brought up by my dad. Uh-huh. Not right now, but when we were watching the movie, would it have been better if it was Anakin talking to Luke instead of Yoda talking to Luke?
Oh, no, no, no. We're at 2 hours. We can't have this whole conversation right now because this is a three. It is a phenomenal question. It really is. And it's something that a lot of people have a lot of different opinions on. It's like a 3 hour conversation. Okay. Yeah, we talked about it a little bit in Slack. It's a good question, though.
Yeah, it is a good question. I think Anakin has less of a connection to Luke than Yoda does. I would kind of like to see some kind of explanation for how Snoke expects the Skywalker line to be this big powerful thing, other than, you know, it being that. I actually came up with this idea as we were talking. What if, and especially based on what we've seen from Rebels and Clone Wars, what if Snoke is like the father or something? That would be a bit mind blowing right there.
No, yeah.
Which is another 3 hour.
Looking at the Mortis arc. Yeah.
Yeah, which is another 3 hour conversation that let's not have right now.
Very interesting. Before I rip the Band-Aid off here, Chris has he said it's a quick yes-no question to bounce around to everyone here. So, Chris, take it away.
All right. So here's my question for everyone. And you don't have to go in any detail, but knowing what we've seen with episode 7 and 8 and knowing we have episode 9 to go, do you expect that episode 9 will conclude this saga, or do you think we'll see a 10, 11, and 12? And do you want to see it?
Yes, yes, and
no
yes.
Idea.
Yes
or no.
I think it'll conclude. I think we will still at some point see 10 and 11 and 12, but I think there'll be a break for a while.
Well, that's, I want to point out that 10, my question focuses on a 10, 11, 12 being a continuation of the current story.
Okay. Then I would say no. I think that this, while 10, 11, and 12 might also include characters from this trilogy, I think that they will try, whether they succeed or not, I don't know, but I think they will try to wrap this up as its own book-ended story.
Okay.
Anyone else?
I'm going to say that I could see it potentially going to the fourth movie because there hasn't been too much development in terms of Kylo's dark side. But, like, again, I wouldn't mind it. I'd be happy with as many Star Wars movies. So it doesn't matter to me.
Anyone
Any
else?
Other thoughts?
I can't honestly, make up I'm not my sure. Mind. Yeah. I'm not sure, Chris.
I'd like to see more of Rey. That's the thing. I'd like to see more Rey.
A lot more Rey.
I think there will be. I think there will be a continuation of this. But I also think we're going to get our Thrawn trilogy.
We live in the hope of the Thrawn trilogy, Tim.
That's right. All right.
My
well,
to this is. I think that it'll conclude with 9. I hope it concludes with 9. I would like to see more in the future, but not immediately. I don't want more of this same conflict going into 10, 11, and 12 if it ever happens. So at that point, I think it's too much.
Okay. Very good. Well, we'll see how episode 9 wraps up this trilogy and what kind of potential they leave us for some further story. So it is Star Wars, and there's always opportunity for more story, I think. So with that, I want to thank everyone for their time. While it is getting a little bit late here, we can certainly continue the dialogue, and we ask all of our listeners to kind of continue this dialogue with us. Please be sure to send us your feedback. You can hit us up at echobase@randomchatter.com. You can catch us online at facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. You can find all of our shows online at randomchatter.com. You can catch all of us on Twitter. You can catch the Echo Base show at Echo Base Podcast, the network, and also the Random Chatter show at Random Chatter. You can catch me on Twitter at Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's. I will pinch it for my compatriot, Lizzie. You can catch her at Nerd in the City. Lou, where can people find you on Twitter?
Just my name is Lou Secchi, Lousecki.
Shannon.
I'm at Shank Beezy. It's Shankbeezy.
Eric.
I am at Eric Blythe. It's ErikBlythe.
Carrie.
We're all doing so good.
I am at Carrie Blackfire 42. That's K-E-R-I Blackfire 42.
Andrea.
You can follow me at Cats Bears. It's KATZBEARZ.
Zed. Darn Canadians. And Chris, where can folks find you on Twitter?
I'm at The Curse of Chris.
Very good. The music you hear on this podcast is The Imperial March by Cell Dweller and The Force Theme by Scandroid. That is it for this week, folks. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll catch you later.